Pastor Xavier Reese, reminding us that we will reap what we sow.
There comes a time, there comes a place where you say, I want to go for it. It's a willful choice. And once you cross that line, you can't take it back. You decide to commit adultery. You decide as a young person to give away your virtue. You decide to do whatever. Once you say, I'm going to cross that line, you haven't received the consequences yet. But oh, be also patient. You will.
Welcome to Simple Truths, the daily half-hour study of God's Word with Xavier Reese, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. How many millions are spent chasing the empty promises that usually accompany the well-crafted TV infomercial? Well, how many Christians are deceived when they follow a watered-down gospel filled with half-truths? Today, Pastor Xavier helps us spot three warnings that will help us from falling for spiritual deception.
Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29, and all of chapter 13. You have to take this whole passage together. The title is Spiritual Deception. The repeated warning of spiritual deception is impossible to miss in the book of Deuteronomy. It is one of the major themes from chapter to chapter. Jesus repeatedly warned about deception during his day, as well as the future to come. Paul the Apostle seems to deal with the problem of deception constantly throughout his epistles. And he warns of future ongoing deception. Have you ever noticed how fast a lie or heresy spreads and how slow the Word of God truth is taking hold of? And it may have partial truth, but it's wrapped up with all kinds of heresy. Mark Twain said this, listen to him. A lie runs around the world while truth is putting on its boots. I like that. You talk about hitting the nail right on the head. Look at the many deceptive heresies that are being taught and accepted in the so-called Christian church and community today, in our own lifetime. You have the prosperity doctrine that teaches that Christians are like little gods, and they can speak their whole world into existence. And so you're sick, you say, I'm not sick. And now you become a liar because you're sick. Now you need to pray that God touch you, but God doesn't touch you, go to the doctor. No problem. Or you can speak your health and wealth into existence, you know, and you're divine right. You should have a Cadillac and a Mercedes and all this and that. The liberation theology allows the use of force and violence to further the kingdom. This is very prominent down South America, Central America. The movement of signs and wonders teaches experience and new revelation as equal to the scriptures in authority, going beyond the scriptures, very subjective. And the more signs they do, the more we wonder. The integration of psychology and the scriptures called, quote, unquote, Christian psychology is nothing more than cracked cisterns that can hold no water, at best, stagnant water, with its many facets of therapy, repressed memories, reliving your past through 12-step programs. Yet the church is going crazy over it. The ecumenical movement that proclaims love for the sake of unity at the expense of doctrine destroys the gospel. Love has conditions. Any of you ever marry a husband or wife and say, there's no conditions, you can do what you want? How many would buy that? I don't think so. The most recent Toronto blessing, the barking in the spirit phenomena, like a circus type atmosphere. Why do people believe the lie when they have the truth? These are but some of the present-day deceptions that are being taught in our so-called community of the Church of Christians. Now, in view of all this, we want to look at the proclamation of Moses here against spiritual deception, which provides for us three things from chapter 12, there, verse 29, all the way to chapter 13. Let me give you the three things because of the length of the passage, and then I'm going to read the passage. Three things that it provides for us. First of all, you have the warning about spiritual deception in chapter 12, verse 29 through 32. Then secondly, you have the ways of spiritual deception. And you find that in chapter 13, the first 16 verses, the ways of spiritual deception. And then he finishes off with the wealth in resisting spiritual deception. And you find that in the last two verses, verses 17 and 18. So you have the warning about spiritual deception, the ways of spiritual deception, and the wealth in resisting spiritual deception. Let me read the passage for you. It's lengthy. Bear with me. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to possess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them. For they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination that the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But the prophet or the dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to redeem you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend, who is as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, or the gods of the people which are all around you, near you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him. Nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. But you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. If you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, certain corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitation of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, gods whom you have not known. Then you shall inquire and search out and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of the city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroy it, all that is in it and its livestock, with the edge of the sword. And you shall gather all its plunder into the middle of the street, and completely burn with fire the city and all the plunder, for the Lord your God, and it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. So none of the accursed thing shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you, and multiply you just as he swore to your fathers. Because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God to keep all his commandments, which I command you today, to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Three things that Moses gives us here regarding this proclamation against spiritual deception. The first one is the warning about spiritual deception, chapter 12, verse 29 to 32. Notice first, the time is the future, verse 29. When the Lord their God would cut off the nations. The victory was sure. We've already read that over and over again, particularly in chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. To go in and possess the land implies that they were going to be able to do it. It was given to them. It was certain, the victory. The phrase to possess or possess it appears 52 times in Deuteronomy. 52 times. But notice, secondly, when they would displace those in the land that dwell in their place. So in other words, they would absolutely remove them all and they would be in their place. It was a switch, a substitute. The phrase the land appears 112 times in the book of Deuteronomy. The people and the land go hand in hand. They are never seen separate. They are never seen separate. The land was desolate for almost 2,000 years until God brought the Israelis back. Look at the land now. The land and the people go together, always. The land was God's gift to them over and over again. He says that. One area is chapter 1, verse 8. A gift. They did nothing to deserve it. The land was under God's protective eye throughout the year. Remember reading that? Chapter 11, verse 12. Let me read that for you. What a tremendous protection. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Oh. Notice, secondly, in verse 30, the warning is specific. The proclamation is to take heed to yourself. The phrase is found throughout the book of Deuteronomy. 8 times specifically, the phrase appears. Let me read you one in chapter 11, verse 16, because it ties with this. It says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Now, when you tell your child, take heed, be careful, watch out. What are you telling him? You're warning him of a true possibility. The warnings of Scripture are not God's scare tactics. Believe me, people. They are as real and as possible as anything can happen. And if you don't take heed, then what he's warning you about will take place and come into your life as a Christian. Absolutely. The phrase implies the possibility of spiritual deception. Do you think you cannot be deceived spiritually? If you're confident, it's because you know the Word of God and you check it by the Word of God. But your heart is deceitful and so is mine, and it's desperately wicked. And liars sure can't figure when they're getting backed up against the wall. It's amazing how much we know the Scriptures and what they teach until we fail in that area. And then we say, well, what does it really mean? Interesting. Remember the heart of man, Jeremiah 17:9, deceitful, desperately wicked. Remember that sin nature still resides in us. Remember Paul in Romans 7:18? He says that I don't find within me that which is good. Even after being a Christian, you know you have sin nature. So do I. And you know that in you, as well as in me, resides all the potential of the greatest evil. If I give over to my flesh, even as a believer, every one of you have that capacity, and so do I. That's why the warning is, let him who stands take heed lest he fall. Don't make provisions for the flesh. Continue. Abide. Pray. Watch. Many warnings. The potential danger is threefold. Mark it well. It says to be ensnared and follow them after they are destroyed. We can be obedient to destroy whatever it is that God is telling us. But then, do we then turn around and follow that which we've destroyed? Seems to be a potential possibility here. Secondly, to be curious and inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Curiosity, they say, kills a cat. Now, I know somebody said satisfaction brought it back, but, you know, that's not where to go. But it's that curiosity. You know what I mean? You say, well, I want, you know, I just, you know, I need to minister and I need to get out there and really know what, so I can identify with the people. Oh, be real, real careful. That curiosity poisons you, defiles you, sucks you in. Remember, there's still enough darkness in you and in me that if you go around darkness long enough, it will suck you in like the black hole. And if you don't think you have the potential, woe to you. Woe to you. But thirdly, to make a willful choice to do likewise. And so you're curious, you inquire, and all of a sudden there comes a time, there comes a place where you say, I'm going to go for it. It's a willful choice. It's a point in time. And once you cross that line, you can't take it back. You decide to commit adultery. You decide as a young person to give away your virtue. You decide to do whatever. Once you cross that line, there's no turning back. It's like the person that's up there in the building. He keeps saying, I'm going to jump, I'm going to jump. And all of a sudden, whether it be by choice or by just some kind of accident, sort of, he gets too many degrees over that point and he can't hold himself back. At that point, he is committed. Now, he hasn't received the consequence of his commitment. It's going to take a couple of flights, but he's going to get it. Once you say, I'm going to cross that line, you haven't received the consequences yet. But oh, be also patient. You will. You will. In our introduction, I gave you key words. The word do appears 98 times in Deuteronomy. The word obey appears 10 times. The word observe appears 21 times. The word hear appears 34 times. The word fear appears 29 times. The word remember appears 15 times. The phrase Jehovah your God or Jehovah our God appears over 300 times, implying a relationship as husband to wife. Loyalty, faithfulness, accountability, commitment, perseverance. Notice thirdly, the danger is syncretism, verse 31. Syncretism is a joining of the pagan practices and attributing them to the worship of Jehovah God. Remember Aaron? He shaped the golden calf, and then he says, come, O Israel, this is a feast to Jehovah. These are the gods that delivered you. Taking pagan practices and joining them to the scriptures of God. Syncretism. There are many things that go on in the church and in people's lives that are pagan, and they ascribe them to God. The manner of worship practice and practices to their gods is declared to be hated by God because they were an abomination to the Lord. They're in verse 31. An abomination. The word abomination is used of that which is detestable, dishonoring to God in the book of Deuteronomy as well as the rest of the Bible. The word appears 69 times in the Old and the New Testament together. 65 times in the Old Testament, 4 times in the New Testament, 12 times in the book of Deuteronomy. Detestable, disgusting, displeasing. Use any of those words. An abomination. That which he has declared, we are not to have anything with, and we get involved. An abomination. The example of one of these practices is the burning of their sons and their daughters in verse 31 there in the fire to the worship of Molech. People say, well, I'm glad we don't do that today. Oh, really? What do you think abortion is? Molech was a god of pleasure. And they would put their baby on the hot burning arms extended out. And as the child was burning and crying loud, the parents would run around in a frenzy and cutting themselves and yelling and everything else. Young ladies and women go out and they do their thing sexually. They think they're free. They think they're the masters of their own body. And they get pregnant. And what do? They offer their child to Molech. Oh, they don't put them on the arms of a burning idol. They just allow the doctor to insert an instrument and to destroy and tear the child apart in the womb. Have we gotten better, people? I don't think so. The channel was idolatry, which God forbade due to the fact that they saw no form in Mount Sinai in chapter 4, verse 15 through 19. It says, you didn't see no form, no similitude, so don't make idols of creeping things of man or the heavenly bodies. You saw no form. And then he gave them in the Ten Commandments, in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, here in Deuteronomy, and forbade in the first and second commandment, idolatry. You can cross-reference that with Exodus 20, where the Ten Commandments are given the first time. And so all that God is warning about is what he's already said that it's wrong. But he's giving the details of it. Notice the precaution is clear in verse 32. The precaution is clear. He says, whatever I command you to be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Whatever God commanded, they were to do. In simple words, obey. Do you know any shortcut to please God apart from obedience? Is there any shortcut that your children can please you in apart from obedience? We're no different, are we? The lessons from the lesser to the greater. Whatever God had given to them in the Word, they were not to add or take away from it. Do you realize how many times God says this very specifically in Scripture? He already said it in chapter 4, verse 2, don't add or take away. He says it here again. In Proverbs 30, verse 6, he says, don't add or take away from God's word. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, says, don't add or take away, or she'll be added and taken away from you from the books of life and the plagues of life. How many times does God have to say something before we believe it? Why is it that we want to mess with God's word? Why do we want to add to it? Why do we want to say, well, you know, this could also mean this and that? Just read it. It's very simple. John tells us that we are not to believe every spirit, but that we are to test the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, 1 John 4:1. Do you test the spirits? Do you test them by the word of God? Do you check me out? Or are you just coming and, well, I can trust Xavier. Can you? No, I'm glad you think so, and I'll do my best. But the only guarantee is that when you sit under me, check out the word of God. I don't mind you asking questions. The book of Acts tells us that the Bereans received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to find out those things were so. Acts 17:11. Are you a Berean? Do you check things out? Oh, but brother, we're not to judge one another. You better judge. It's talking about critical, sincere spirit. You're not to find fault in everything. You think you have that gift? Bury it. But you are to judge. You're to examine. You're to prove. This is the authority, not any man. And so the warning about spiritual deception is for every person. Now, do you think you're the exception? I hope not. If you do, then you're a candidate for deception. Absolutely. So the warning brings us to the ways of spiritual deception. We find them in chapter 13, verse 1 through 16. Three cases he gives to us as examples. The first one is by a religious man, verses 1 through 5. The person is identified. He is called a prophet, one who speaks for God. He is called a dreamer, one who receives dreams from God. He is known for having a reputation of such spiritual abilities. Have you ever been around people like that? But people who flaunt their gift or something? And as you're around them, they yes, brother, tell me about it. They make you feel like you're some kind of a spiritual pygmy or something, you know what I mean? They want you to feel like that. Well, no, when they do that, they're not spiritual. They're carnal. Okay? Not at all. God calls prophets and anoints them to speak forth his word, such as Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Hosea. Amos says, I was a fruit picker and God called me out. Isaiah says, I have a dirty mouth, yet God called me. God tells Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He calls them, he anoints them. The anointing of God is such an amazing thing over a man's life because what comes forth is just amazing. Most of all to the man himself than to those around him. It's just God's grace. And God help that man if he takes the anointing of God to corrupt the word of God and to merchandise the people of God. God help him. God speaks through dreams, but he is always the interpreter of the dream, such as Joseph and Daniel. If you think you've got a dream from God, then rest on it. Ask God for the interpretation. And if it's truly from God, then it will be verified by the scriptures. It won't add to the scriptures, won't take away from the scriptures. It won't be new revelation. If you've got new revelation, your source is southward. It is not of God. There is no way. Because he has given us his word. And he honors his word above his name. And you know what he thinks about his name. God's gifts are always counterfeited, which is the greatest evidence of the existence of genuine gifts. You cannot have a counterfeit unless there's an original.
Pastor Xavier Rees with a simple warning regarding the deceptive tactics of the great deceiver. Now, you can request a copy of today's hard-hitting lesson from the book of Deuteronomy called Spiritual Deception. It's available, as always, on CD for just $4. And make sure that you pass along a copy to your friends and loved ones. The title to ask for, once again, is Spiritual Deception, or simply mention today's date when you write Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. Or to make your request by phone, call 800-926-1485. Again, that's 800-926-1485. Or the address once again is Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. And thanks for including the call letters of this station when you contact us. What's the essence of faith? Find out when you tune into the next edition of Simple Truths with Pastor Xavier Reese. Simple Truths with Pastor Xavier Reese, a daily half-hour broadcast, is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. www.calvarychapelpasadena.com.